The following podcast is for information purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for psychotherapy with a trained mental health professional.
Rational Radio.
Today on Rational Radio, we will talk about REBT and relationships, how irrational beliefs affect our relationship with others. Welcome to Rational Radio. I'm Micah Perkins. It's good to be back. Where did February go? Just went by so quickly. It is now mid-March, and I am doing this podcast. I missed doing a podcast for February, so I want to apologize to everybody for missing that. Things just got really, really busy and continue to be very busy in my personal life and professional life. And as I've heard some podcasters say, life got in the way of my podcasting. So unfortunately, I haven't been able to take the time to do this podcast earlier like I would have liked to. I have a feeling that things will not be slowing down for me very much. My wife is pregnant with our second child. She's going through the whole sick all day, every day stage. And so I'm trying to be there for her, trying to keep things in order. So I'm busy trying to keep up with work and trying to keep up with things at home and trying to help her as well. So I don't know really what the next couple of months are going to look like for me, but I will do as many podcasts as I can. I'll try to stay on the every month track, but if I missed one here or there, I apologize in advance for that. Today we're talking about irrational beliefs and relationships. As I talk today, I'm mainly focusing on those intimate relationships. Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, those types of relationships. Now, as we talk, you can easily apply some of these things to other type of relationships, best friends, maybe even coworker type relationships, but I am going to be looking at relationships in that context. Relationships are something that, as humans, we have a really hard time with. They are very important to us. We enjoy them. They bring a lot of happiness and joy to our lives. We tend to be social animals, and so we have this tendency in general as humans to really like to be in relationships with other people and to seek out other people for relationships. But also, because we are fallible human beings, we have fallible relationships. We often misperceive things. We assume things to be true that aren't. Also, we make mistakes, and that hurts other people and our relationships with them. So today we're going to look at some of the irrational beliefs that affect our relationships with others. In our next podcast, which will hopefully be in a month, but unfortunately, as I said, maybe not. Things are kind of crazy in the Perkins household right now. But we will look at self-defeating behaviors in our relationships. So today, in looking at beliefs, irrational beliefs, in our relationships with other people. So to just briefly review, rational beliefs are preferences. I would like for it to be. It doesn't have to be. But I want it to be. I would like for it to be. And they're flexible. Whereas irrational beliefs are inflexible, rigid demands. It absolutely must be. It has to be this way. And one of the three derivatives. I can't stand itis. It must be this way. If it's not, I absolutely cannot stand it. Awfulizing. It must be this way. And if not, it's awful, terrible, just the worst thing ever. And people rating. It must be this way. And if it's not, then you are a horrible, rotten, terrible person. Or, it must be this way, and if it's not, that makes me a horrible, rotten, terrible person. So when we look at these beliefs, we want to make sure that we differentiate between self-helping preferences and self-defeating demands. There are many, many different beliefs that we could look at, and today we're just going to be scratching the surface. But these are some of the more common ones. Now, one of the things that's important to point out is that because we are imperfect, fallible human beings, we all have irrational beliefs from time to time. We all act self-defeatingly from time to time. No one is perfect. But where this gets to be a problem is whenever these beliefs become ingrained, whenever they become our primary operating system, and where these self-defeating actions, these behaviors, become ingrained, where they become the way that we deal with situations. So as I'm talking about these self-defeating beliefs, again, we all have them from time to time. We all make mistakes. We all do things that later on we realize weren't helpful. But in healthy relationships, we catch these things and we work on modifying these things. Whereas in unhealthy relationships, these irrational beliefs, again, become ingrained. They become the primary way of operating. These self-defeating actions become the primary way of responding. The first one is we should continue to feel butterflies, those romantic feelings, like the time when we first met. And if we don't, then it's awful. It's the worst thing ever. It must mean that we're not truly in love. So let's look at this for a minute. Is this a realistic belief? Now, I'm not going to get all into the psychology of attraction. I'm sure that you can do your own research on that on the internet. But one thing that is true is that when we first meet someone that we find attractive, there's all sorts of chemical releases that happen in our brain. In one article that I recently read, it compared this to amphetamines. We literally get a high whenever we are first attracted to someone. If you remember right, to times whenever you were first attracted to someone, you do. You get that natural high where you are focused on that other person, where it seems like everything else seems to take a back seat. If you're going to school, school no longer seems important. Only this person is important. Work, you have a hard time focusing on work. Only this person seems important. As we walk around, the sun seems brighter. The flowers are brighter. We smell more. The world just seems like a wonderful, wonderful place because we are in love. At least that's what we call it. We are in love. Because this person, we've met this person, we are attracted to them, and they have done something to show that they're interested in us as well. So that is a very natural reaction. One of the things that we want to be very careful of, though, is that we realize that that's a natural reaction, and that we don't put our heart above our head. That we don't deify these feelings, and that I don't begin to make all my judgments based upon these feelings. An example would be, say I meet this woman, she doesn't share any of my interests, she doesn't share any of my basic beliefs about life, but yet, because I find her physically attractive, and because I am on this natural love high, then I put all those other things in the back seat. I don't even consider those things because I am in love. Well, as most of you probably listening to this podcast realize, that eventually, unfortunately, that natural high wears off. And in the article that I read recently, they said it lasts anywhere between 1 to 3 years, which unfortunately it may last a lot shorter than that for some of us, before that natural love high starts to wear off, and then I start to see, hey, wait a minute, you know, she's not really interested in the same things that I am. It didn't really bother me before, but now it kind of bothers me. She doesn't have some of the same basic beliefs about life that I do. It didn't bother me before, but now it's starting to bother me. Maybe she's not the right person for me. So again, it's important whenever we're in that natural high to enjoy it, but at the same time, still try to use our brain and try to look at the situation and see, is this really the right person for me to be with? Just because I'm physically attracted to them doesn't mean that I need to negate that they're using illegal drugs every night. Doesn't mean I need to negate that they are getting in trouble with the law every day, that they are going to court for criminal charges. It doesn't mean I just need to completely negate everything else because I am on this love high. And that's something that we have to be very careful of. And a lot of people aren't able to resist that natural high. So when we look at this belief, we should continue to feel butterflies, or we should continue to have that natural high with each other. And if we don't, then it means that we're not in love, that we're not right for each other, and that's just awful, terrible, the worst thing ever. So let's look at this first part of this belief. We should continue to feel the natural high. As we've already talked, that's unrealistic. That's one of those wonderful things that biology has built into us that we get to experience, but unfortunately, it doesn't continue. So it's unrealistic to think that I am going to continue to have the same natural high with my wife that I had whenever I first met her and we first started going out for those first few months, first year or two. That's unrealistic. So then we look at that second part. If we don't have this natural high, then it means that we're not really in love. And we have to look at that and see, is that true? Well, just because I don't have that natural high doesn't mean that I'm not in love with this person. We may have been able to develop, as some people have called it, a more mature kind of love. The love that is stable, the love that lasts after that natural high is gone. And if I have been able to develop this more mature kind of love, this friendship, really, that's what I think a lot of long-term relationships are just this underlying friendship. Hopefully there's still some passion in there, but just this friendship where I generally like this person, I generally like to talk with this person and be around them, that it doesn't have to be sexual all the time. So then that is unrealistic. If I don't have that natural high, then it means we're really not in love, and that's not true. I can be in love with this person and not have that natural high. And then we look at the last part. If I don't feel these butterflies with this person, then that's awful. That's the worst thing ever. And as we've talked in past podcasts, is that really awful, the worst thing ever, if I don't continue to feel butterflies, natural high for this person? No, it's not. There could be many other things that could be much worse than me not feeling butterflies for this person that I'm with. And we could go into a long list of what would be worse than not feeling butterflies for this person. What if we went completely bankrupt and lost all of our money? Which would be worse, not feeling butterflies for this person or losing all of our money? What if this person got into a car accident and became paralyzed? What's worse, not having butterflies for them, or them or me getting in this horrible car accident and being paralyzed for life? We could go to all sorts of things and look at what would be worse than not having butterflies for this person. Now, on the flip side, if I don't think that there is an underlying friendship there, and really in the next podcast, we're going to talk about behaviors that harm relationships. But if I don't feel like I have this underlying friendship with this person, and I've looked at my irrational beliefs, and I have determined that I would prefer to be with somebody else, I don't really care for this person, maybe this person is doing things that are not safe, maybe they're doing things that aren't safe with me or with our children, then I may choose to get out of the relationship with them. So that leads us then to our next irrational belief. I must have someone, or else life would be awful, I can't stand it, and possibly it means that something's wrong with me, I'm just no good if I don't have someone. So let's look at the first part. I must have someone. Why must I have someone to love me? Now this is where some critics may want to cite research in those Russian orphanages with children who weren't cuddled, who weren't nurtured, who weren't loved, and they died because they weren't given the physical affection. And so this is where some critics will say, see, that proves that people need love, that it is a need. Well, first of all, one of the things that we can look at with that is that it is true that infants need nurturance. I believe, again, not to go into all sorts of biological type of things, but that affects immune system, that affects bonding, which is very, very important in infancy for children, infants to receive nurturance from other people, to not just be left in a crib, given food, water, and nothing else. So that part is true. Also, when we look at children growing up, it is true that they need someone to care about them, to care for them, because they, because of their physical structure, are not big enough to be able to take care of themselves. My 3.5-year-old, he needs me to care for him. If he were left out on his own in a forest somewhere, he probably would not be able to take care of himself. He would not be able to get what he needs for food and water because intellectually, he's not to the point where he could be able to figure those things out. Physically, he's not strong enough to be able to take care of himself. So that is true. As infants, as children, we need others to care for us. If they love us, then it's more likely that they will care for us. So that is true. But as Ellis points out, what may be true as infants or as small children is not true as adults. It begins to get us in trouble if we carry over this belief of I need someone to care for me into adulthood. So then let's look at this belief again for adults. I must have someone to care for me, to love for me. What law in the universe says that every single person gets one person to love them? That every single person will find their love of their life and will live happily ever after. Unfortunately, there's not. And if we look around, we will see that singles clubs are full of people that haven't found somebody. That singles bars are full of people that haven't found somebody. So there's no law of the universe that says that everybody gets to find somebody. Everybody gets to have the love of their life and live happily ever after. Unfortunately, that's not true. Now, it would be great if it was. I wish it was, but just because I wish it to be true doesn't mean that it is. So it is unrealistic to think that I am guaranteed to find the love of my life. Unfortunately, that's not true, and some people will live their whole lives without finding that intimate relationship. Now, if they don't find that intimate relationship, hopefully they can cultivate other relationships in their lives. Maybe they have a group of friends that they like to spend time with. Maybe they do things in their church or their other civic organizations to be around people and to have relationships with people, but they don't necessarily have to have that one intimate relationship with the love of their life. It doesn't have to be. So when we look at that belief, I must have someone, I need someone, is that true? And again, that's not true. We need food to survive. We need water to survive. We need air to survive. But do I need someone to survive? Like I need air? No, we don't. Now, again, you look at society, and society, the media, pounds this into our head. We need someone, the love of our life. And if you take a look, go onto the internet, look at love songs and the lyrics of love songs, and you will see that all through love songs. This whole romantic notion of I need you to survive. You are the sun. You are the rain. Which I think it's an old Air Supply song, I think, if I remember right. It's not true. I do not need somebody like I need water, like I need sunlight to survive, like I need air. simply not true. And I know that's not a very romantic notion, but it's true. So if I start thinking that I need someone, then that can be self-defeating. Because I will then go out, and a lot of people do this, they will go out with the belief that I absolutely need somebody, and they'll grab the first person that comes along. The first person that shows them any type of interest whatsoever. The first person that they're halfway physically attracted to, they grab them. Because I need somebody. And unfortunately, this person, again, may not have a lot of the characteristics that are helpful for me. Maybe they are a drug user. Maybe they have a hard time controlling their anger. Maybe they do have problems with the law. Maybe they aren't able to hold down a full-time job. But yet, because I need somebody, I grab onto them and get with them. And unfortunately, when you pick up one side of the stick, you pick up the other as well. I grab onto this person, I'm also grabbing on to all these other undesirable characteristics that they may have. And so now I have to try to deal with their poor anger control, and I'm trying to deal with their problems with the law, and I'm trying to deal with their drug use, but I need somebody, and so I hang on to them, even though I'm trying to deal with all these things. Maybe they're not the kind of person I need to be around my kids, but because I need somebody, I keep hanging on to them. So when we look at this last part, I must have someone, and if I don't, then life would be awful. And so again, we look at that as, is it the worst thing ever to not have that intimate relationship with someone? And as we discussed just a minute ago, it's not. It's not the worst thing ever. I would prefer to find that intimate, close relationship with somebody. It maybe would make life happier if I found that. And maybe not. You talk to some longtime single people and they say they're happier not being in an intimate relationship. So that's a possibility. Is it true that I can't stand it if I don't have an intimate relationship with someone? No, that's not true. I can stand it. I will not die if I don't have this intimate relationship with someone. Now, here someone could cite studies that show that people who are married live longer than those who are single. And my comment to that is simply because married people tend to take care of themselves better than unmarried people do. Whenever you're unmarried, not unmarried necessarily, but alone, whenever you're living alone, you may be less likely to make that healthy meal. You may be less likely to exercise than whenever you are living with somebody that you care about and who cares about you as well. So it may not necessarily be the marriage per se that makes people healthier, but just the behaviors that they do. That married people or people in intimate relationships are more prone to do healthy things than those who aren't. So we look at this last part. I must have someone, and if I don't, it means that I'm no good, that there's something wrong with me. Just because I don't find that other intimate, close relationship doesn't mean that I'm completely worthless. Now, this is something that longtime singles may ask themselves, what's wrong with me? And they may decide to go to a relationship coach and find out what are some of the behaviors that I'm doing that I may not be aware of that may be turning other people off. You know, maybe it's certain mannerisms that I do that I'm not aware of that seem to drive people away. And those are behaviors that we can change. But just because I'm not with another person, have an intimate relationship with another person, doesn't mean that I am inherently flawed, that I am not as good as other people who are married or who do have long-time relationships with others. It just means I happen to be a person who is not in a long-term relationship. Doesn't mean I'm rotten, that I'm no good. Just means I'm not in a long-term relationship. Now let's look at this last belief that we're going to talk about today. You must treat me the way I want to be treated, or else I can't stand it, and you are no good for treating me that way. So let's look at the first part. You must treat me the way I want to be treated. Is that realistic? Again, is there a law of the universe that says that I will always be treated the way I want to be treated? That I will always get what I want? No, that's not true. I will not always get what I want. I will not always be treated the way I want to be treated. Sometimes people will mistreat me. People will not always treat me the way I want to be treated. So, when that happens, again, not if, but when that happens, then is it true that I can't stand it? Is it going to kill me if I'm not treated the way I want to be treated? No, it's not going to kill me. I may not like it, but it's not going to kill me if I'm not treated the way I want to be treated. Just because a person does not treat me the way I want to be treated doesn't mean that they're completely rotten and they're no good. Well, no. Again, that's not true. Because if I say someone is completely rotten, it means everything that they've ever done is no good. Everything that they ever will do is no good. And that's simply not true. I may not like the way this person is treating me, but it doesn't mean that they're completely no good because they're not treating me the way I want to be treated. Now, whenever I talk about this belief, what I'm talking about are times that we don't feel like that we're being treated fairly. What I'm not talking about in this situation is something like domestic abuse. A situation where I don't feel like I'm being treated fairly, but it's not an unsafe situation. So when we look at this belief that I must be treated fairly, I must be treated the way I want to be treated, is that realistic? And if we look at it, we realize that it's not. I will not always be treated the way I want to be treated. I do not have this bubble around me where mistreatment may happen everywhere else in the world, but it won't happen to me. That's not true. So I will be mistreated, and I will be mistreated by those that I love, by those that I care about. So there's times that I will be treated unfairly. So that's something that I just have to accept. Now, when I'm treated unfairly, then that's whenever I have to decide how I'm going to deal with that. If I go to that person, my significant other, my spouse, and talk to them about that, this is how I feel, that I'm being treated unfairly, can we work on this, can we try to change some things, and hopefully they'll change their behavior, and hopefully they'll do things where I'm feeling better, where I'm feeling like I'm being treated better. But there's a possibility that they won't. Even after I talk to them, they may not. And so then that's whenever I have to come to the decision that I can either, one, accept that in this area I'm not going to be treated the way I want to be treated, or two, decide that I'm willing to end the relationship because I'm not being treated the way I want to be treated in this area. Now, these are just three of probably thousands of different types of irrational beliefs people can have. And we have all sorts of irrational beliefs going on in our relationships. When we look at these last two that I talked about, I must have someone or else I can't stand it, and you must treat me the way I want to be treated or else you're no good, and we put those two beliefs together in our relationship with another person, all sorts of problems can come out of that. Because when this person doesn't treat me the way I want to be treated, which will happen, if I then think, well, you are no good, and I am going to punish you for doing this to me, and say I start yelling and screaming and throwing stuff around, and then this person, if they also have the same belief, oh, well, now you are mistreating me because you're yelling at me and throwing stuff around, so that makes you no good, so I'm going to punish you and I'm going to walk out the house and leave you. So they leave. But then the other belief, I must have someone or else I can't stand it, kicks in. And I think, oh my goodness, they're leaving. I need them. Like I need air, like I need water. I can't live without them. And I choose to run out the door after them. Then once I get to them, that other person decides, well, I guess I'll come back to you. I will not punish you anymore because I also need somebody and I need you. And so then we make up and everything, okay, is good. But then the next time, some little thing happens, and I again go off because you absolutely must not ever mistreat me, or else you're no good, and I punish them, yell and scream, throw stuff, say all sorts of horrible things to them, and again, they leave, and then I think, oh no, I must have this person, I need them. I run after them, they again think, I must be with you, I need you too. And you see, there's just this constant pulling and pushing against each other that there's very rarely just this any stability in those types of relationships. And those are those type of relationships you hear people throw around terms like codependent and things like that. Those are those types of relationships, just this constant turmoil, this strife that these people have in their lives because they have these two irrational beliefs that are counteracting each other, that are working, that are going on at the same time. So again, we would try to change these beliefs to, I would like to be treated well, but I don't have to be. And when you mistreat me, it doesn't mean that you're no good. And whenever I try to punish you and get back at you, it just makes things worse for us. So we'd work on that belief, and we'd also work on the belief that I don't have to be with somebody. I would like to be, but I don't need them like I need air, like I need food and water. I can stand being alone, although I want to work on this relationship, and I would like to be with this person. Well, that's all I have for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope to do these each month, but unfortunately, if things get too crazy in my own life, then I might skip a month every now and then. But please, keep subscribing. Keep sending me your emails. I love to hear from you. I'll talk to you again soon.